health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hey, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause. Today's episode, I have a treat for you. I have a fellow like-minded lady, Dr. Beth Westy. She is a chiropractor, an acupuncturist, an author who loves educating women just like I do. And she found the solution to her own ovarian cysts after struggling for quite some time. And I can't wait to dive into that story. So Dr. Beth, say hello to the Health Fix folks.
Hey everyone, yay! I'm really, really excited to be here. So thank you for having me.
Thank you. We are gonna geek out, so folks get ready. We're gonna talk about Chinese medicine. We're gonna talk about women's health and all kinds of fun stuff. So Dr. Beth, you've got quite a story. It's a great video on your website at drbethwesty.com where you're talking and talking about the struggle you went through after having some kiddos and then developing ovarian cysts. And for those of you who are listening and have maybe never had an ovarian cyst and going, what is this thing? These are little growths that happen on your ovaries. And I think a lot of folks might even have them and have no clue that this could be the reason why they're having a ton of pain before periods, or they're having a ton of issues with even PMS. I mean, I think a lot of people end up with ovarian cysts in the ER because of the pain. So how did you figure out that the what was going on was ovarian cysts in the first place?
Yeah, so I was having all sorts of cycle issues after having kids. So my whole kind of, having kids and health story is, it starts actually when I was in graduate school, when I was in chiropractic school. I had my first two kids while I was in school. Just sort of happened that way for me.
Total props for you there, because I couldn't imagine going through school and having kids. Like, whoa.
It was not easy. Yeah. So you can imagine, how much you have to study and, go to labs and all these other things, and then having babies at home, how little sleep I was getting, how much little time I had to take care of myself. And then, I graduated, got license, took part four boards, got licensed, bought a business, and then a month, like this is all within like a 5 month span of time. And then I found out I was pregnant again.
Man.
Like at that point, I had actually thought I was done having kids. And in that interim, in that 5 month span of time, I actually had a miscarriage, because I had just taken board and then I found out I was pregnant, miscarried fairly early, 8, 9 weeks-ish. And then, I was like, okay, that's okay, blah, 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 bought a business, everything. And then got pregnant again. And that, my third baby, she was actually born, 2 months early, almost 2 months early. So she was a preemie. So here I was, a brand new business that was not even a year old that I was struggling with. I had been in a very fast paced life with school and boards and business and everything, and zero sleep with babies at home. And then she was born early. So I wasn't even ready. I didn't even have thank God I already had another girl, so I had, stuff for her. Otherwise I would have had, because she was just so early, I wasn't prepared at all. But through complications, that's why she came early. But it was after that, and I was still really focused on my work, really focused on my business, really focused on making it successful, because I knew I had, a lot of people that needed care. So I kept pushing forward. At this point, I'm working 60 hours a week. I'm not sleeping, right? I am doing whatever I can to try and take care of myself. And I started getting ovarian cysts. And I knew what they were, just the cycle of the pain. They came every month, and then the cysts would burst. And when they would burst, it would put me on the floor.
Wow.
It would be awful. And I remember sometimes it would happen when I was at work. Sometimes it would happen when I'd be at the clinic, and I had a room in the very back. My x-ray room had this little table that I would go, if I could feel it coming on, I would go right back to that room and right behind the table. And I'm a really big person. I know right now no one can see me, but I'm 6'2". I am huge. I am like a super tall, like you can't miss me anywhere. And I'm trying to like crouch behind this tiny little table in this little x-ray room because I had to hide and like wait 10-15 minutes for that immediate pain to pass. Cause it, you know, almost want to throw up or, you know, be sweating and everything. It was that bad. And then it would kind of subside after the, you know, this would burst and it, you know, it's not like the pain went away or whatever, but it was, you know, it went from like an 11 down to at least a 7 so I could get up off the floor and then keep working. But that happened for me every month.
Oh,
and you're a natural healthcare practitioner, right? You know, you are very knowledgeable. So the people that you hang around with, your friends, are all natural healthcare practitioners, right? They're all naturopaths or, you know, massage therapists or acupuncturists or, you know, chiropractor, you know, osteopaths, right? All of my friends are, you know, healthcare practitioners. So, of course, those are the people I reach out to first. Hey, I'm having this problem. What can I do? Like, I'm already doing these things. You know, I was, you know, eating really clean. Like everybody does, you know, you're supposed to, right? So I really cleaned up, and no dairy, no red meat, no alcohol, no fun.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Tightened up on my diet, no sugar.
Oh my gosh.
And then it's like everybody too. They told me to take a different supplement.
Yeah.
A different herb. Up your vitamin D, up your fish oil. I talked were helpful, but it didn't get rid of the cysts. And they kept coming back still month after month. And month after month, I still kept getting a cyst that would burst.
Oh my gosh.
And I was so frustrated. And I went to almost every, you know, practitioner in my network. You know, not literally would I reach out beyond just my friends, like other people I knew, other people from, you know, school, other just anybody who could potentially give me a new idea. And I said, you know, these are my things I'm doing, this basket of supplements, 35 supplements I was taking every day. And right, you're shaking your head right now. Because everybody's like, take this. I was like, I'll take it all. Make it stop.
Oh, my,
I know, right? You know, I had
my
to,
goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Right? And I know that there's other people out there that feel like this. Like, I really had a hard time getting off the floor. My husband freaked out.
Oh, sure.
He was like, you're dying. He's one of those. I'm like, God love him. But he is... Yeah, you know, if you get a little cut, he's like, you need stitches. I'm like, they're fine. Fine. Like, calm down, right? But he freaked out. He had to help me in the car and brought me to the ER. And, you know, because of course, I'm sure people are thinking, well, didn't you go in and see your OB and blah, blah, blah. And I did. I had, you know, a regular check at some point with my OB because, you know, when you have a baby, you go like all the time to see your OB. So my OB knew, my regular OB knew, but knew my, you know, preference. I was like, I don't want to be just dope. OB knew up on pain pills all the time, you know, for the pain. And then they're on birth control pills for me. Yep.
Absolutely.
And I said, listen, that I have some side effects I don't like from the pill. And I'm not a candidate for a lot of other types of birth control. So so there's very limited options. And of course, you know, so my husband's also, he had had a vasectomy. So I was like, we don't need it for its intent, you know, for me. Like that. The purpose of them putting it on birth control was basically to, you know,
basically put you in menopause.
Yes, exactly. Reduce it's to shut menopause. Off my own body, which isn't going to fix anything. I was like, I want to fix whatever's going on here. Like I realized, you know, having kids and having a stressful life and not sleeping and all these things kind of brought this on a lot. But I, how do we back this trolley up? How do I work on this? And that was their only thing, birth control and pain pills. And that was what I had already talked to my OB about. And it was, so we go into the ER and there's the ER doc. And I know, like, I'm very, I don't want to say picky, but I really like working with other health practitioners that, you know, listen to you, right?
Super important. Listening is gets you a lot of information that's useful.
Yes. I'm in, you know, in the ER doc, didn't know me, didn't know my story, you know, didn't know all the things that I was doing or whatever. And he just came in and in 5 minutes looked at me and was like, well, it's a cyst. And I was like, yes, I know it's a cyst. it's just a bad one, and it's whatever. And he goes, well, here's your Vicodin prescription, and here's your birth control prescription. And I was like, listen, I can't be doped up, so I don't like how I feel when I take the Vicodin, so I'm probably not going to do that. I have other natural, you know, pain-relieving things. And birth control, I don't want the side effects of it. I'm not interested in that. So I said, what I want to know of is why this keeps happening for me. And why can't I make it full stop? This didn't happen before for me, right? Now, like before I had kids, I never had a cyst.
Right.
Or, you know, what the heck happened in the, because my kids are all 2 years apart. So in the, you know, 6 years that I had kids and stress and stuff, made my body freak out to start doing this. You know, can you help me there? And he was just like, well, I don't know. It's just, you know, it just is, you know, hormones. It's the women hormones. And I was like, clearly, sir. He was a very, I'm sure you guys can picture what kind of ER doc this is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah. And he was like, well, he was an elderly, you know, your only solution here is the Vicodin and the birth control. And if you're not going to take that, then I guess I don't even know what to tell you. I was like, so, you know, I walked out of there really feeling like, you know, I was, and I know a lot of other people have this experience too. You feel like they didn't listen to you, they don't understand your problem, and they don't even really know how to help you.
Yep.
And that was the thing. If I didn't take the one option he gave me, there was literally nothing else for me. It was like I was being a non-compliant person because I didn't want to be, you know, on pain meds all the time. Oh, what? I don't know. Oh.
It's so, very broken. I'm surprised you didn't get a referral for a hysterectomy, because I have had people get referrals like, all right, well, then let's just pull out all the plumbing. Let's just get it all out of there.
Right?
System.
Yeah. I mean, maybe because it was just the ER that, you know, he was like, I don't know, here's your Vicodin, see you later. And I was like, I really would like a more, you know, more of a discussion on this, on all of these things. And it just wasn't there, wasn't available, wasn't, it's not a thing that they do. So that was a really tough point, and actually surged this. I had somebody ask me recently, like, you know, why do you do what you do and all these things? I went in and, you know, getting information to women, which is absolutely true. I love it. I love talking to women and having like talk about like serving women, bulbs go off about what they're learning about their body. But it really started when I was thinking about it. I was like, it really started with like this deep-seated rage for the system and was treated. And then how I knew other women are treated, I was like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So it's really a lot of rage that gets me going.
I might have a little rage in my wheelhouse here in terms of why I do this, because system's broken. We're not getting answers. We got to try to like figure it out on our own. You know, we have a lot of education in our backgrounds, but for folks that don't, even more so, I mean, that makes me so sad, because what are they going to do? What is, you know, at that point I've seen with most of my patients, it's like, they come to a point where they're like hopeless. They're like, all right, well, I'm after falling into like, this is me and this is me for the rest of my life. And I mean, that jacks with your mental health, just to deal with this. And they start a little bit.
So, yes, absolutely. And then there's the guilt and the shame and everything that comes along with it, which also isn't helpful.
Mm-mm.
Right. Because you feel like you're like, I mean, these are all things that I had. I felt like, where am I going wrong? I'm trying all these things, but nothing's working with my body. I felt really with what was happening physically and the lack of results I was getting, and I disconnected and everything. And yeah, you know, I'd had, you know, maybe an extra 10 or 15. I wasn't focused on that, but it was part of the problem that I didn't realize, because your fat cells hold 15 pounds that I couldn't get rid of excess hormones. So my body's still reacting to all this other crap that, you know, again, I didn't realize I needed to work on some of these other little things that would, because no, you know, it's not a thing that you talk about. So from this, like, make the biggest difference overall, totally lost point, totally disappointed point, and leaving the ER just flustered, and my husband being like, well, are you sure you don't want the pain pills? Like, you're going to feel better, maybe. I was like, what's that going to do for like a day or two? And then what? Like,
right.
I can't do it. I was like, this isn't happening. saying, I'm not putting up with this. And then I got just on fire about finding a solution. So I would stay up at night. Like, I put all the kids to bed, and after work, I'd stay up at night, like, researching, you know, looking for things. Like, why is this like this? And everything else. What else can I do about it? And then I got trained in acupuncture and Eastern medicine while I was finishing up school. And then after I graduated, that after a year, I went and did an extra course on fertility and cycle issues for women. So I was sort of in this course and just finishing this course when, all, you know, as this stuff is going on for me. And I was like, that's it. I've had it. Like, I'm learning all this other stuff with Eastern medicine. They talk about the body a different way.
Yeah.
Right?
When I tell my patients, when in Chinese medicine principles, it's been around for thousands of years, and thanks and pain meds and all that. So what did they do? You know, what are their systems? I had to figure this stuff out without grumpy ER doc. Doubt, I go to the... And so, yeah, most of the time, like 9 times out of 10, if I'm like baffled on a patient, I'm like, I don't know, I'm going to go to Chinese medicine and look at a lot of their patterns. And you do a lot of chatting about the food and things of that nature. So what did you discover when you dove deeper into the Chinese medicine side of things?
Yeah, like fertility work and Chinese medicine and everything, how they work with. So I really started just looking at how your body is supposed to naturally function, how your system changes like pretty much every week, and how to work with that, right? So essentially breaking it down into like 4 different bodies a month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's change things each week to match, you know, women have like with what that is. And I was like, holy crap, that's the biggest life. I want to do that. And I know we could do that with, you know, acupuncture and things like that. I want to extend that into like every lifestyle aspect possible. I want to do it for how you're exercising, for your body, for even like supplements or things like that. If you need to, you know, take the foods that you're eating, like extra adaptogens or something during a time, you know, the week before your period starts or something like that, just to help your body because it's reacting to stress differently, that you know these things and can shift and alter how you're doing things. And I mean, really, it's like, and I realized that so much of our, you know, in the Western world, everything is set up for men to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Nutrition plans are the same all the time. Eat these many calories, eat this all the time, every day, blah, blah, blah. How is that helpful? Changes week to week.
Yes. Yes.
No wonder. No wonder women have all these problems.
If
your body, no wonder we get cysts. No wonder we have, you know, cycle issues, hormone issues, you know, stress issues. And then we have even little things like PMS or craving. And we're told as, you know, young beings going through these, you know, changes of puberty that that's normal.
Yeah, just deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you have a bunch of PMS, so that's fine. Everybody has that. Yeah. Because it's common doesn't mean it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean it's okay, right?
Absolutely. I love that you different body every single week, though, because I think a lot of people, you know, you mentioned a different women in particular will come in my office, and I'm sure you get this too. They're like, man, you know, like 2 weeks before my period, I feel so puffy. And then when I'm done with my period, I feel like I've lost all the weight of the world and I feel so light. And then it starts all over again. And then, you know, I'm totally cool, like period and the first week after the period. And then I'm like psycho biatch after that. And so it's during the period, you know, I think a lot of people every single week were different bodies and chemicals as well from the gut all the way up to the brain. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And your body responds differently. It, you know, wants to kick into fat storage differently. You know, it's examples I use to explain this to women, because sometimes it takes a little bit to realize, oh my gosh, we're so different, because we're so trained to treat our body like a male body all the time, every week of the month, right? So for those of you that have ever, this is really easy to think of in terms of exercise, because a lot of times you think, oh, well, yeah, I get cravings for my period, but well, whatever. No, think of this in terms of like exercise. Say you're going for a run. We've all had them, right? Go for a run and you're, you know, you go for this like 5-mile loop and one day, you know, this one week you're going out, you're ready to go. You woke up at a certain time, you ate a certain amount before, you had this hydration, da 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 da. you go on this run and you feel great. You just clipping along, making good time, and you feel really good. You feel really energetic. You're done with this 5 miles. And you're like, oh, maybe I'm a little sore, but I don't feel that bad. Oh, this is great. Oh, look at me. I'm getting so fit. Yay. Maybe I could do 10 miles. Oh, you know, all this stuff. And then a week and a half or 2 weeks later, you do the exact same thing. You wake up at the same time. You eat the same thing. You drink the same amount of water. And you run that same run. But about 5 minutes into that run, all of a sudden your legs feel like cement blocks, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been there. Yeah. I've been there.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, what the heck? And they're like, oh, why is this such a push today? And you look at your watch and you're like, I'm making terrible time and I'm really trying to push myself. So you push yourself even harder. I can't make worse time. I was getting so fit. What's wrong with me, right? And we always turn it around on ourselves. Oh, yeah.
We did something wrong. Then we start hating on the body or, yes. You know, just downward spiral.
Yes, the downward spiral goes so, so fast. When really you didn't realize, oh, I have a different body. So it's going to react differently to exercise. It might need some different nutrition, some different fueling around this. I might need some different training, you know, maybe not running the same 5 miles like that. Maybe do something a little different to help work with the body where it is. And that, you know, instead of being super sore from trying to push yourself, but you give your body more time for rest and recovery because it needs it then too. It's a whole different way of looking at your system and realizing where you're at, body's doing, and how to match it. How to work with it and stop fighting what you're and then stop feeling bad about it, right?
Yes, yes. Women are terrible to themselves. Oh my God, we are evil. Just evil. You take, you know, that chick you're jealous of and you don't like and you talk crap about it. You know, you talk nicer about her than you do yourself a lot of times. And I think that is something so important to think about for us ladies. Like, how mean are we being?
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's so, so true. So, in learning all this stuff, so I was, you know, doing all this research after I had my, you know, cyst that my husband took me in for. I was like, okay, this is it. I am done with this. I'm going to find something different. I was found and determined, fueled by just a lot of rage. All the stuff I was learning that women were struggling with. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's not for me. And I started just doing some different things day to day that were matching with my body with where it was at. So I started a that were matching with my body with where it was at. So I started on that specifically.
Okay.
And all of a sudden I started noticing a change, right? Like my cyst just, you know, didn't disappear overnight.
That would be magical.
Right. Yeah.
I wish.
Like, that's not how the body works. It takes some time. Right. But it's like, after the first month of doing that, I noticed things were way better, way different. I had a cyst, but it didn't put me on the floor. It was much better. By the second month, I was like, well, maybe I have a little bit of a cramp of a cyst, or maybe it's a tiny one, but I was like, oh, it's better. By the third month, I did in alignment with my body and system so much that I took off that like 10 extra pounds baby weight, which again, I cared about, it was the piece of things that was really holding on a lot. Not that I had excess hormone, my body just wasn't releasing it. So I was able to reset for my system that, holy cow, I haven't had a cyst since. And wow. So that was I suffered that for over a year and a half.
Wow.
Before I started working on this stuff. And my daughter is 9 and a half now.
Wow. Wow.
My youngest. Yeah.
So it's sustainable.
Yes. Yeah. And so this is how, you know, like the foods that I talk about, the things that I talk about are 9 and a half now. They're not like crazy weird foods, you know, it's not like, oh, I eat this weird, you know, stuff all day, you know, or something. I don't know. Some people don't like kale, but.
Kale and celery smoothies every day. That's what you need.
Every day. All day. Every day. That's it. That's what's going to.
God.
But I've been able to get rid of the cysts. They haven't.
God.
But I've been able to get rid of the cysts. They have kids. It's regular things. Yet I still eat for my hormones, my cycle, and I'm able. I haven't been able to navigate any type of food difference that I want to, you know, or going out to eat, traveling, all that stuff, and still work with my body to get and keep a great result.
That's awesome.
You know, learn more, manage more, you know, about my stress and everything else. But so that's really kind of why I got started, how I got started, and how it impacted my life in such a huge way, you know, especially after being so pelvic restored and taking so many supplements and going down so many paths that just didn't lead me there. I started working with my body differently, and it made all the difference.
A couple things that came to my mind while you were chatting. One, I think a lot of people think that anyone love it in the health industry has all the answers. And I think it's great when we talk about how, even though we have a lot of information, sometimes we're not, you know, connecting the dots together, or haven't really dove into things in that realm. Now, in terms of the week by week process, what was your process to figure out my feeling? Did you keep a food journal of the certain foods that you were eating? And by the way, she has a book, by the way, folks. We don't want to give out all the secrets here. If you could give us, like, first week, let's go with, like, I think a lot of people don't even know that day one of blood flow, like real blood flow, not just spotting, but day one of legit blood cycle. So let's go with day one through day seven of someone's cycle. What would flow is day one of your be one food? If someone was going to take a little bit of info away and try to see if they could get a win, what would be one food they would be thinking about for like week one?
Yeah. So for everybody, that first week, and especially while they're having their period, it can be a little, I know, the hormone phase right there, like especially days like one through three. Mm-hmm. Can be a little tough, especially if you have, you know, hormone issues, something like that. So at that point, it's like, listen to your body.
Okay.
Listen to your system. If you need more nutrient, get that nutrient, because your body's essentially turning itself over.
So
turning itself.
Not the
time. One of your major organs is, you know, really doing a lot of work.
It's shedding. We're shedding some stuff. There's things happening.
Yeah.
So the idea is, this is probably not the time to be on your 1,000-calorie diet, I don't promote at all. But, you know, a lot of people are like, I'm still trying to lose weight, you know, and this is the time when I'm like fighting willpower so hard.
Yeah. And people are often like, you're fighting willpower and you're not feeling good because you haven't been nourishing your body consistently enough. So most women are actually nutrient depleted. Mm-hmm. We are oftentimes overfed and even undernourished as a culture. So to even feel like you're, you know, I have too much weight, I'm trying to cut back, you're not getting enough nourishment in, which leads to these issues. There's so many women that will have their period for a day or two, and then all of a sudden it disappears.
Yeah.
And then it comes back again. And I'm like, you're nutrient depleted and you have adrenal issues. Like that's what this is telling you. Your body is really telling you a lot of things. So if your hormones and cycle are in sync, doing well, everything else, like maybe the first day of your period, you might take an easier day. But other than that, it shouldn't hold you back. And you shouldn't be feeling, you know, terrible.
Sure.
But it's, you know, so I actually like to simplify things into, like basically before ovulation, after ovulation time segment. So days 1 through 14 from the onset of your period, you know, maybe after the first few days, and then all the way up to about when you ovulate day 14, that's the time when your, body is going to be higher in estrogen overall. So I know the luteal, follicular, most people don't know those words, so I don't use them a lot, you know. Oh, right, it doesn't ring a bell for anybody. I'm like, yeah, doesn't it have something to do with my hormones? Yep, it does. But so estrogen is higher at that point too. But also, if you've ever tracked your basal body temperature, your basal body temperature is also lower.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have hormone issues, tracking your basal body temperature is going to be a really good indicator of where your system really is actually at. For a lot of women that struggle with fertility, sometimes they're just completely missing when they're ovulating.
Yeah.
Just because it's not actually on day 14. It could be on day 12, right? It could be on day 18. It's different per person. And the only way to know is, I mean, besides, you know, getting some type of advanced test that tells you, is you can track your basal body temperature and it will tell you when things are ready. So for that first phase, the estrogen phase, lower basal body temperature shift in your temperature, we're actually going to match the tone of that with your food by eating cooler foods to work with that lower basal body temperature. So cooling foods are going to be things like, you know, chicken, turkey, fish, any raw fruits or vegetables. You can use different seasonings too. You know, mint, lime, or, you know, cilantro, rosemary, thyme. All these things are very cooling for the body. It's not hard, right? I mean, I'm sure you're like, yeah, I got chicken in my fridge right now.
Right.
Awesome.
That's probably some raw veggies in there right now.
Mm-hmm. There it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're going to be matching with the estrogen that your system is producing. Now, after day 14, right, day 15 through 28, your body should be higher in progesterone then. Again, these are things that, you know, if you track your basal body temperature, you can work with that as well. But your basal body temperature also should rise after you ovulate. So the progesterone phase is higher temperature. And so crazy how the body works. Like, you'll notice, you feel like your core body temperature can sometimes feel different. Mm-hmm. But then we switch over the tone of your food to make it warming foods. So things like beef or red meat, bison, venison, you know, bacon, very warming foods.
Ginger.
And then ginger, yep, the spices. Any type of spice that you want to add on that's warming. Ginger, nutmeg, cloves, peppers, hot sauce, right? This is such an easy thing to start incorporating. Like, if you make a breakfast burrito, just put hot sauce on it. There you go.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So I do, I've got kids, so we do tacos a lot as a meal. Like, at least it's a weekly staple. I do. Everybody can make their taco different. You don't have to.
Right.
I don't want the cheese on the top. I want it on the side today, Mom. Okay, fine. You can have it on the side. Everybody can make their taco different. But so for me, for the warming and cooling phases, I'll do chicken tacos and I'll make them more mild, and then I'll put some fresh lime, some fresh cilantro, things like that there. So it's a very cooling tone of the meal. And then if I'm in the warming phase, so in the progesterone phase, I'll make, you know, we use a lot of venison. My husband is a big bow hunter, so we have a lot of venison. And we'll make venison tacos, and I'll use all the peppers, all the hot sauce, all of it, and really work with the warming tone of my body. And it's something as simple as that, is every day just focusing a little bit more cooling or warming for whatever phase I'm in, that helps your system to be in sync and make and produce the correct amount of estrogens or progesterones for whatever your body needs, and help balance that system. And I don't mean balance as it's the same all the time, because it's not, but balance it for the phase that you're in and help that shift in hormone that your body should have.
That's really cool. Thought about it in terms of warming and cooling. A lot of times, you know, I think about in terms of estrogenic. Yeah, I never thought about it in terms of warming and cooling. A lot of times, you know, I think about in terms of estrogenic foods or herbs, such as the flax, the pumpkin, the chia as the first half, and then the sunflower, sesame, etc., kind of the seed cycling component. So I'm guessing you're adding, as you're smiling, I'm like, okay, I'm guessing, you guys can't see this, but she has the biggest, greatest smile. And so she's like smiling, going like, yes, yes. So we also have some foods that you can pop in there. So probably a little bit of an added bonus, if you will, of the plan in terms of certain ones in the beginning, certain ones at the second half of the cycle. Do you want to talk a little bit about this part? Because I just glossed over it a tad.
Yeah.
What's your spiel on that?
On the, like, seed cycling?
Yeah, like adding in seeds for, you know, the first half of the cycle, and then adding in different types of seeds for the second half of the cycle. What do you tell folks? Which ones do you use? What's the game plan?
That's exactly what I tell people. Yeah, some people are familiar with seed cycling. So how I explain eating for your cycle with all of your food is really like a step up from seed cycling. Seed cycling, you're just adding in the seeds, you know, pumpkin flax for the estrogen, sesame sunflower for progesterone, and it helps your body, again, make and produce and keep the right amount of hormones in your system. It doesn't just, you know, it's not like, oh, it makes my estrogen good. It's going, okay, yes. It's more like your body, you know, your reproductive organs produce these hormones as well as other tissues in the body. And then you have to work them out of the system, which is where we have trouble sometimes, mm-hmm. right? If you have a metabolism issue or an autoimmune issue or, you know, a thyroid issue, sometimes your system has a hard time, or an autoimmune issue or, you know, a thyroid issue, sometimes your system has a hard time flushing out excess hormone at the pace and rate that it should. So these feed cycling, eating for your hormones, all this stuff can help your system naturally do that. And again, sometimes people need a little bit more of a, you know, hormone detox or a little bit more of a push there. But if you've gone through something like that, this is all you need to help your system maintain it, that seed cycling, eating for your hormones, because it helps keeping your body, you know, like making the right amount and then getting rid of the right amount at a regular pace. So you're not getting an overload of one or the other. Yeah, but that's oh my gosh. I have so many women that notice huge changes in, one of the most common things I noticed for women is like the PMS symptoms. Mm-hmm. When they add in seed cycling, right? Like they're like, I get really tender breasts and I just get really bad brain fog. And they start adding that in. And they're like, it's totally gone. I don't know why I did that weird voice. Sorry. But
I like it. It works. It works. Yeah. It works. No, it's true. I mean, we have these things that are so, so simple. And I love that Chinese medicine talks about the energetics of food. So those of you who are listening in might be thinking, like, what are you talking about? Like cooling for the first half of the cycle, warming for the second half of the cycle. Yeah, with the Chinese medicine principles, there's properties to all these foods. Now, one of the things I was going to ask about, and you're probably going to talk about it anyway, I'll just bring it out now, is the Chinese medicine thought process with cysts and like lipomas and other things in the body goes along with another path. So now that some of the folks listening to this podcast are like, what is she talking about?
This sounds crazy. Dampness. I don't know what you mean.
How is my body damp? Well, it happens.
And maybe you have a different, like a better way, I want to say, of explaining it than I do. The way I like to just talk about it, because everybody can kind of visualize this, I'm a very visual person, is it gets like sludgy. Mm-hmm. Your system gets sludgy. So you're supposed to move things out, right? Like, everybody can relate. Like, I'm sure everybody at some point has been constipated in their life, right? You're like, oh, I really want to go to the bathroom, but I cannot go to the bathroom. This is a problem. I'm not feeling great, right? That's a blockage, right? Things are sludged up. You're not moving things through, right? Mm-hmm. That happens with all these other systems of your body, right? There's blockages, other things, buildups can happen everywhere. And they're not good. And you don't feel good from it. So these things, when we're looking at, you know, damp and other things, when we describe it, it's, you know, I like to think of it, okay, in the reproductive system, in your ovaries especially, there's just sludge there. It can't move it out, you know, energy sludge.
Yeah.
And your body's not moving it. So with the meridian and everything, with acupuncture, that's meant to open that up and move that through to help clear that pathway. But instead of it being like a closed door, it's an open door and everything can move through and your body can restore itself, right? It's not forcing your system to go through anything. It's not making a different process to happen.
Absolutely. No, that works. That works. I mean, really what I was, you had said before, the folks who have thyroid conditions, the folks who are overweight, who slowly move the hormones through their system, this is a prime example of sludge and dampness. Those of you who need lymphatic cleanses, I mean, a lot of people are probably like, wow, how do I even know if I need a lymphatic cleanse? Well, most of us, this is like our drainage ditch of our body. This is where we detoxify through. And a lot of folks who struggle with cysts that I've seen, like you mentioned, need a hormone detox, need a little bit of clearing of that sludge. And our ovaries have a ton of drainage around them. I mean, the abdomen has a whole bunch of lymph nodes. And so one of the things that I always connected with dampness is just like you said, the slowing of pulling the hormones through the system. So those of you out there who have hormonal issues like cysts or co-current, it might also have hypothyroidism or Hashimoto's or something of that nature. I mean, it seems to go hand in hand that we definitely need to consider doing a little bit of a hormone cleanse. So where I was going with the dampness is kind of talking a little bit about a cleanse. So say someone is struggling with polycystic ovarian syndrome. So this is how we get, it's a bucket term. We'll talk about that at probably nauseam at maybe another podcast. We have these cysts, right? And we get to the point where we're overweight, we're struggling, just brain fog, not feeling well. What would you suggest to the listeners if they're seeing that and they're like, okay, I probably am in that category of needing to flush some stuff out. What would be some basic suggestions that they could get started on and where to kind of go from there?
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you asked this question. And yes, that is exactly the like the follow-up explanation of like, yep, clearing the sludge, all that stuff. when women are thinking this, like, I'm sure there's people listening that are like, oh, that sounds like me, or oh my gosh, I have had that, or this is what my sister is talking about. This sounds exactly like her. We'll send her this podcast, and yes, this is exactly how it is. It's super frustrating. Oftentimes what you're looking at for a detox can be a very tough process to go through for your entire system. But the other thing that I really caution you to look at is that you're also not depleting your system at the same time, which is what I have seen from so many women, is that they have tried or started, and they're starting a certain protocol that's sort of a, you know, cookie cutter protocol. It's not bad. It's just, oh, this is what I read. But if you're also not fueling your body correctly to do that work, your body's going to get even more depleted and more run down, and then you're not going to have the internal energy to actually fully complete that detox. So you're not going to notice. You're going to be like, well, maybe I'm detoxing. I'm having some like detox symptoms, but I'm still not feeling great.
Yeah.
Dang it. Body's not there. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. No, it's definitely one of the things that I like to think about for when people want to go, like you said, balls is all, they're like, I'm in, I'm full in, we're doing this like hardcore, my whole family's doing it. I don't care. I mean,
everyone detox.
Yes, yay! We all need to. And then they like are like 2 days in and they're like, I can't get out of bed. I can't move, you know? And so in the Chinese world, we call it blood deficiency. Blood deficiency is basically adrenal fatigue and goes along with, you know, not nutrient fatigue and all lack of nutrient absorption, so many different things. So one of the things that I was going to ask you about is do you, with your clients in your office, do you have a protocol for acupuncture that goes with all of the nutrition stuff as well?
Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
I do. Yep. Yeah. And a lot of times I'll mix in, it's sort of a blend of some detox stuff and then focusing on hormones as well. Because again, your body's metabolism also changes throughout the month.
Yeah.
During the estrogen phase, things are cranking. You got more energy. Mm-hmm. Your body's, you know, hip hopping. It's like, woo, here we go. Way easier to flush sludge then, you know, progesterone phase. Digestive system through some slows down. Everything is, you know, you're not going to feel as good. It's going to slow down. Everything is, you know, you're not going to feel as good. It's going to much energy sometimes if you're just getting started on this process. I have seen women quit because they get pushed too hard at the wrong time of their cycle.
Yeah.
And they're like, I can't do it. I'm falling apart here. Like you said, 2 days in, can't get out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What the heck? Yeah, absolutely. So the deficiency piece of it. Yeah. I love how the Chinese medicine, it's just blood deficiency. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which again, to us might sound totally weird, but you're like, yes, it is. You don't have those nutrients in your bloodstream.
Yeah. You don't have the nutrients, you don't have that fire under your butt to do things like you should. And I think that's where Chinese medicine has some great explanations. So for those of you out there that are not familiar with Chinese medicine terms, it a lot of it is so simple, but I love it. Like, there's cold damp. There's cold blocking the blood flow. Like, stagnation is a big term in the Chinese medicine world. We have something called blood stagnation. We have cold stagnation. You know, all of these things, when we go down to the basics, really make a lot of sense to figure out someone's cycle and how to move forward with it. And I wanted to, the basics really make a lot of sense to figure out someone's cycle and how to move forward with it. And I wanted to acupuncture and its benefits for the cycle, because I think a lot of people think of acupuncture as being something that's calming. They know it's good for pain. But I think a lot of people only think of acupuncture related to people's cycles for fertility. But they don't really hear someone talking about acupuncture for helping regulate cycles or helping with cysts, things of that nature. So
even perimenopause and menopause.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So what's your spiel to your patients in terms of acupuncture's benefits during the cycle, like trying to get the cycle going? What do you tell them? You know, are we talking about moving sludge? What do you say? I'm curious, because I say all kinds of things. So I'm like, are you saying things like me? Because I just want to know. And I think, you know, for listeners, I think they'd like to hear someone else's, you know, spiel instead of mine in terms of, you know, what can acupuncture do to help with cysts? What can acupuncture do to help with regulating the cycle?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. So acupuncture. So in general, also the idea, even using seeds or using food or using acupuncture, that's something like that's external that you're using on your body. And for a lot of people, it sounds totally weird to have this other thing that would help influence your system. But we have to remember, our body and our hormones especially are impressionable. Mm-hmm. They're not set in stone. They're very impressionable. If you've ever lived with other girls in college, really, I mean, I went to college, I lived with, you know, three other girls in, you know, in her house. And how long before all your cycles link up, right?
Oh, not very long. Yep.
Not very long. Not very long. Months. Everybody's on within a day or two of each other. You all start. It's so funny. I had a roommate who, we had a couple other roommates kind of shift and change, and she'd always get mad because her cycle would always change with somebody else. And she'd be like, dang it, Alicia! I just had my period 2 weeks ago, and here it is again. It's because of you. But so our bodies are so impressionable. And so these external, seemingly external things can actually imprint on our systems and have external, seemingly external things can actually imprint on our systems and have treatment as we go through the month. I talk about building the body up and then kind of the tear down. You know, what's your system actually doing, right? Your system's doing a buildup and a tear down every month. And then at what stage that you're at to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, without that support, I mean, our hormones and our bodies get pulled in a bazillion different directions all the time, from stress, from toxins that we're exposed to, from crappy food that we're eating, from negative attitudes of people that we're around, right? Our bodies just get, you know, it's so easy to get pulled off track. So when we're using sugar, or you're using other things that are external to help your system, oh my gosh, it's got that pattern to go off, the acupuncture.
Yeah.
It's going to alleviate so many problems, alleviate that pull, so that your system has its baseline and it's not going to waver as much, and you feel better and you know what to expect, and you're like, oh, you know, all the problems that women normally have then with their cycle just kind of fade away. Yes. It's amazing.
It so is. And I love that you said it's just regulating. You're helping to guide. Like, every acupuncture visit is just like giving your body the tools to guide it in the right direction. It's like a little nudge, little advisor, like a little counselor that you don't have to like go through past traumas with. You're just moving things along. And it's probably, and I'm sure you find this in your practice too, it's like the one time that folks really rest, like chill out, not doing anything else, when we've got the needles in them, relaxing. And so,
because you can't look at your phone while you've got needles.
Oh, and no looking at your phone or taking selfies of yourself while you're on the table. It's not happening.
You're like, hey, can you? I want to see what this looks like. Show me.
I joke. God. I'm like part photographer as well sometimes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now with social media, I'm like, but you got to tag me in that though. Because if I'm doing the work to take the picture, you better tag me and put what location you're at, because I'm making this work for me. Oh, man. Dr. Beth, I've had so much fun chatting with you. And oh, by the way, folks, I'm going to get to chat with her. She's going to interview me on her podcast coming up. So you will have to stay tuned for that. That's going to be so much fun. So tell everybody what your podcast is all about, and then tell us where we can find you online, best places to interact with you, and then we'll call it a day because she's got to get to go get those kiddos.
Yes. So you can find me on all places, you know, social media, Facebook, Instagram, Dr. Beth Westy. My channel is just Dr. Beth Westy. I have a ton of archived videos there if you're looking for something specific on YouTube. Menopause or endometriosis or whatever. All my videos are archived there. My podcast is called The Female Health Solution. Mm-hmm. And I love bringing in other, not only experts, and I usually bring in females, mm-hmm. and only if they are very specialized in something women's health do I even interview a guy. But I really love hearing from female practitioners, especially because they offer such a great insight to female health. And just talking about a lot of different things that are really, really helpful. So that's the podcast. I've got a couple of books on Amazon.
Yes, tell us.
Female Fat Solution.
Yes.
is the main one where it talks a lot more in detail about eating for the hormones in the cycle, list of foods in there and stuff. And then the Female Menopause Solution is specific for women in menopause. And, oh, and I have a gift for your listeners as well. Yeah, so I have a cookbook for eating for your hormones and cycle. So it's just breakfast snacks. Lunches, dinners, over 80 recipes where if you're like, oh, I'm at day 10 of my cycle and I want to cook at breakfast, here you go. It's a healthy, you know, clean recipe book. So it's all divvied up in warming or cooling. So as long as you know where you're at, and if you don't know where you're at, you can start tracking. So that's a great place to start if you're like, oh, I want to start doing some of this, but I'm not sure this sounds like a lot, or I'm not, start with a cookbook.
Love it.
You're going to get a ton of great recipe ideas there and just get started. You know, and then there's a ton of other resources I have from there. So, yay.
Yes, you are a wealth of information. Your website is so extensive with all kinds of value. So, folks, head over to her website. It's Dr. Beth Westy, WESTIE.com.
Yes.
All righty. Yeah. Perfect. Thank you so much. I can't wait for
this
our next
super
one.
Fun.
Wow, that was a fun podcast. I hope you guys really enjoyed that. Dr. Beth is a wealth of information. She has it all on her website. Great videos on YouTube as well, really explaining how our hormones work and how we can regulate them on our own. So if you know someone who is struggling with issues with their hormones, definitely share this podcast with them and share Dr. Beth Westy's information as well. And check out her free resource for us that we will have in the podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com or thehealthfix.com. Well, that wraps up another episode of The Health Fix. Have a great day, whatever you're doing. Hey everybody, Dr. Janine Krause here. If you liked what you heard today, then head over to drjkrausnd.com to find my free resources and information to know when I post something new that's juicy that you might want to check out. Plus, head over to where you get your podcasts and like, subscribe, and write a review to help get the word out about me and help others at the same time to find me. It really does help, and I really appreciate all of your reviews.